Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into The Design of Everyday Things by Donald Norman, a seminal work exploring how good design translates into products that cater to our needs effortlessly. Norman ingeniously dissects the relationship between objects and their users, offering insight into the cognitive aspects of design that make everyday interactions intuitive and satisfying. He reveals common hurdles that impede user-friendly design, outlines strategies for mitigating errors, and champions a harmonious synergy between technology and its users. Donald Norman, the author of this transformative book, is Professor Emeritus of Cognitive Science at the University of California, San Diego. With a prestigious academic and authorial background, Norman has also penned influential titles like Emotional Design and Living with Complexity, further cementing his authority in the field. The Design of Everyday Things is a must-read for a diverse audience. It's ideal for designers yearning to create more intuitive products, product managers aiming to better understand user experiences, and anyone involved in distribution, creation, or manufacturing who wishes to innovate in their respective markets. Furthermore, the book serves as an invaluable resource for educators in design and various fields that thrive on creativity and innovation. Join us as we explore the crucial principles that Donald Norman articulates, which shape not just the objects around us, but the very fabric of our daily lives. The Design of Everyday Things: The Cognitive Psychology of Good Design. Introduction. Unlock the mysteries of intuitive design. Ever been stumped by seemingly simple objects, a perplexing remote, or an elusive door that just won't open on the first or second or third try? It's not you, it's the design. Everyday blunders aren't a mark of personal failure, they're flashing neon signs of design gone wrong. Picture this. You're sandwiched between two glass doors, utterly baffled. The embarrassment isn't yours to shoulder. Somewhere, a designer missed the mark. This narrative unfurls the art of smart design and hands you the keys to understanding the silent conversations between objects and their users. We'll delve into how to spot the true culprits behind common frustrations and explore real-world transformations where design tweaks meant the difference between chaos and seamless operation. Ready to embark on this journey? You'll unearth the tale of one man's battle with merciless glass doors, the tools to dig deep and unearth the root of any design dilemma. Be prepared. It might take some digging. A life-saving lesson from the aviation industry on how one simple design tweak made all the difference for air travelers' safety. Let's step into the world of designs that speak your language, so that the next time a door stands in your way, you'll know precisely how to make your entrance. Part 1. When Objects Confound Us. It's the design, not our minds. Picture this scenario. A brand new television, gleaming on the stand, awaiting the excitement of its first powered-on marvels, yet its remote, a maze of buttons, sits obstinately in your hand. Frustration mounts and self-doubt whispers, "Am I just not smart enough?" You're far from alone in this modern quandary. After all, when everyday gadgets become enigmas, it's not a reflection on our intelligence. It's a design disaster. Good design bridges the gap between human and technology. But when we encounter a jumble of controls on our TV remotes, designed with the goal of unifying a multitude of devices, the result is often a quagmire of confusion. Surely, the confusion that ensues isn't a testament to human ineptitude, but rather to design dissonance. The predicament lies in the frenzied pace of technological evolution. Tech is simply advancing faster than design can keep up. Remember the days when a phone was just a phone? Fast forward, and those very devices have morphed into multifaceted tools, cameras, message centers, browsers, all packed into one. The allure of a multifunctional device is undeniable, yet the complexity it brews can render it perplexing. In this relentless surge of progress lies the design challenge, ensuring that the novelty of technology doesn't sacrifice simplicity and usability. A true revolution in design means creating tech wonderments that can be wielded with ease, making the revolutionary utterly intuitive for any user. It's the golden rule for designers. No matter how groundbreaking a technology might be, if it doesn't cater to effortless usability, it will ultimately fail to resonate with the people it was meant to serve. Part 2. Teach by Design. The product as your instructor. Imagine the anticipation of booting up a sleek new software, only to be greeted by the daunting heft of its manual, brimming with labyrinthine instructions. It's a scenario screaming with the hallmarks of bad design. Products, when properly designed, should serve as self-tutors, guiding users gently through their features without the crutch of a manual. Think about it. A lawnmower shouldn't demand a degree in landscaping to operate. A good design would have you mowing and learning simultaneously, mastering the machine with every swath cut through the grass. The "read the manual" chorus is all too familiar, and yet those very manuals often read like cryptic tomes of an ancient order, abstract and bewildering. So, how do we lift users out of this quagmire of complexity? Signals and signs are our saviors here. Take the mundane example of a door. A simple turn of the handle, a push, a pull, and you're through. But strip away the guidance, no push-pull sign, no visible hinges, and suddenly, this everyday portal can turn into a puzzle. A glass door, sans handles or visible cues, is a trial by design. In one staggering anecdote, a friend of the author found himself a captive of clear panels, a prisoner of two glass doors, a ludicrous yet telling byproduct of absent visual guidance. No sign meant no entry or exit, and therein lies the teachable moment. A well-designed product doesn't just fulfill a function, it effortlessly educates its user in the art of its operation. The best designs are those that, without words, without manuals, whisper the way to seamless use. Part 3. Designing with the human mind in mind. Picture yourself at the helm of innovation, tasked to design the next big thing in washing machines. It's a staple of modern life, so how do you imbue it with features to dazzle amidst a sea of competitors? Your guiding light. Human psychology. When we interact with products, there's a dance of thoughts and reflexes taking place, woven across three psychological levels, according to the author. First, the visceral. These are our autonomic responses, the things we do subconsciously, like blinking or shivering. Then, the behavioral level comes into play. This is where lightning-fast reflexes live, the catch of a ball, the snatch of a hand from a flame. They're conscious, yet so swift they barely register. Last, we reach the pinnacle, the reflective level. This is where our thoughts stretch their legs, pondering, planning, problem-solving, the grand chess game of cognition. How does this apply to your swanky washing machine design? Each level demands its tribute. For the planners, the reflective thinkers who strategize their laundry like a military campaign, a suite of options is key. They're faced with a challenge. Unsightly stains before a big meeting. They need choices, a plan, a sense of control. The design should echo this with an array, perhaps of cycles, tailored to the mission at hand. Descending to the behavioral, here's where action takes center stage. Your users are strategists turned doers. They need to pick cycles effortlessly, understand outcomes instantly. The washing process should be intuitive, the end unambiguous. Clean clothes or another skirmish with the detergent. Lastly, at the primal visceral level, simplicity reigns. The press of a button sparks the cycle into action. The design requires tactile satisfaction and clear feedback, buttons ideally located, a satisfying click to affirm the command. Thus, the humble washing machine evolves under the deft hand of design. Each button and cycle a chapter in the user's psychological narrative, ensuring the experience is not merely about getting clothes clean, but but engaging the user across all levels of human interaction. Part 4. Unearthing the true culprit in design, the quest for root causes. So, your latest product hits the market, but users are scratching their heads, flummoxed by its complexity. What went wrong? To fix this, it's not enough to slap on a quick fix. You've got to dig deep, find the problem's genesis. You must seek out the so-called root cause. It's not about hastily covering up the issue, which is akin to treating a serious wound with a mere band-aid. To genuinely help your users and nix the issue for good, resist the urge to fault the user for mishaps. Instead, plunge beneath the surface. What set off the chain of errors? As in aviation's history, the flight control systems present a telling case. Pilots were jumbling buttons with critical functions. Velocity and descent angle controls were uncannily similar. Pilot error was the knee-jerk reaction. Yet the crux lay in the design. The buttons were twins of confusion, the real villains. Imagine, a redesign that reshapes buttons can drastically dial down what was once chalked up to human error. But how do you unearth these elusive root causes? Enter design thinking, the investigative torchbearer that shines a light on hidden snags beneath the problem's surface. It's more than troubleshooting, it's an exploratory odyssey to uncover the invisible threads that tether error to design. Take a page from the playbook of car manufacturer Toyota. They champion a technique called the five whys. In the pursuit of fixing any fault, this method entails a persistent and probing why, delving deeper with each iteration. They're not content with the surface scratch. They quest for the fifth why, peeling back layers until they arrive at not just the overt snags, but also the clandestine ones. In design, as in any mystery, the path to resolution is often a layered journey, one that demands a steadfast quest for the core issue. Once unearthed, the solution becomes more than a temporary fix. It becomes a transformation, ensuring the design not only works, but resonates with the simplicity of human intuition. Part 5. Guiding hands: how design constraints simplify user experience. Consider the IKEA wardrobe in your shopping cart. It's the notorious champion of self-assembly, eliciting groans and nods of shared exasperation. And yet, against the tide of opinion, these flat-packed marvels epitomize ease thanks to a clever design tactic: constraints. These are the guiding principles embedded in products, whispering instructions through their very form. Constraints in design are less about limitations and more about directions, signposts that implicitly lead users down the proper path. IKEA's array of nuts and bolts is a classic example. They coexist with their matching counterparts across precisely sized holes. Each piece slots just where it's meant to, leaving little room for the kind of bewilderment that results in backward bookshelves. Beyond the physical, there are cultural constraints, norms deeply entwined in our collective psyche. Consider the humble screw, a global stalwart of assembly. We instinctively know which way tightens and which loosens, a shared knowledge so pervasive it verges on the innate. This universal understanding makes wielding a screwdriver second nature. Constraints can also function as safety nets, catching us before we tumble into common pitfalls. Picture laboring over a document for hours, only to close it heedlessly without saving. Though in the past that might spell disaster, now, design constraints intervene. The program halts your hasty exit with a reminder: would you like to save? Even if saving wasn't on your mind, this prompt serves as both a lifesaver and a gentle nudge, recalling a potentially overlooked function. Good design envelops us in a subtle embrace of constraints, steering us invisibly towards the ideal use of the product at hand. It's in the interplay of nuts and bolts, the turns of a screw, the considerate queries of software that we find our guided path to effortless use, crafted by the silent wisdom of constraint-led design. Part 6. Dialogue with design: the power of feedback in product interaction. Visualize the thrill of unboxing a shiny new smartphone, an eager tap on the clock app to set an alarm, but how do you trust it's primed to rouse you from slumber? Enter the realm of feedback, that little clock icon that pops up to signal your alarm is set. It's these seemingly small details that serve as a crucial communicative thread in the fabric of design. Feedback is the heartbeat of user-device interaction, providing the critical, yes, I hear you, in the conversation between human and machine. Consider it the language of design, forged in signs, sounds, and vibrations, crafting a narrative of understanding and guiding the user on their journey with the device. Let's venture into the space of a tech expo, wandering into a smart room where technology infuses every corner. With a gamut of gadgets at your fingertips, it's the intelligent interactivity that takes center stage. Each press of a button should yield immediate results. A flicker of lights, the hum of a projector. Acknowledgement of your command confirms the operation, or, if there's a hiccup, the system chimes in with an error message, a beacon guiding you back to the right course. Feedback extends beyond mere confirmation. It's a vigilant sentinel, keeping users abreast of a product's status. Take the gravitas of a home security system. When armed, it should signal its vigilance, assuring that it stands guard. In its absence, one risks an unsecured homestead or a false alarm frenzy, a stark reminder of feedback's role in the everyday dance with technology. As you progress further, you'll uncover the tenets of exceptional design, a world in which feedback isn't an afterthought but a fundamental cornerstone, bridging the gap between a product's promise and its performance, ensuring a harmonious dialogue between the user and the tool at hand. Part 7. Designing with humanity at the forefront. The breathtaking trajectory of technology has led us down paths once relegated to the realm of dreams. Yet amid this ever-accelerating advance, there's a stumbling point that frequently emerges. Design. More specifically, a design that sometimes forgets its primary audience. Humans. The trap is ensnaring. In the quest for innovative breakthroughs, designers might overlook the end users, the very humans whose lives should be made simpler, not more complicated by these innovations. So what's the key to ensuring that design serves us rather than we it? Human-centered design hinges on a four-stage process designed to place people right where they should be, at the heart of design. Let's dive into these stages, borrowing the scenario of refining a dishwasher's design. To kick off, we immerse ourselves in observation. Picture a control room where designers scrutinize how users grapple with the dishwasher. What hurdles emerge? Is the user interplay with the machine smooth or fraught with complexity? Next up, ideation. This is where brainstorming births solutions. A user interface that's at once comprehensive and intuitive, perhaps implementing notifications to rescue users from missteps. Then, we take these ideas and sculpt them into a tangible prototype. Here, it's imperative that our embryonic design deftly sidesteps past pitfalls. Will users intuit how to set their desired cycle without furrowing their brows? And on to testing, back in that control room, but this time with our prototype in the spotlight. Users confront their old adversaries, and we watch with bated breath. Will confusion reign, or will clarity shine through? This iterative process cycles repeatedly, refinement chasing refinement, until trouble spots dwindle and vanish. It's a meticulous pursuit of harmony between humans and their tools, a reminder that design, when thoughtfully executed, is the invisible hand that draws technology and people together, creating a seamless extension of human capability and intent. Part 8. The Dance of Design and Marketing. Crafting Success Together. Human-centered design might lay the groundbreaking foundation for a product, but its voyage into the hands of eager users is far from a solo affair. It calls for a tightly choreographed pas de deux between design and marketing, a symbiotic alliance that turns potential into profit. Consider the saga of the touchscreen, a mainstay in the modern tech landscape but a feature that lingered in the wings since the 1980s. Its eventual rise to stardom was not so much a technological revolution as it was a meeting of minds between designers and marketers. Originally, designers championed touchscreens as a pinnacle of user interface innovation, but there was a hitch. Their gold standard versions bore price tags too lofty for mass adoption. Meanwhile, marketers, with their sights set on widespread product adoption, sought cost-effective touchscreens. Yet, these affordable iterations compromised ease of use to the point of frustration. Herein lies the essence of product success, an alignment between the creator's vision of quality and the marketer's blueprint for broad appeal. With time, as touchscreens became more accessible in terms of cost, their widespread implementation changed the face of technology usage globally. Success demands patience as well. Norman's Law offers a sobering reminder. The moment a product's journey begins, budgets balloon and timelines stretch thin. A realistic approach acknowledges that hurdles are not mere possibilities, they're certainties. An instance from the author's own experience paints a vivid picture. A product was on the sprint to a Christmas launch, racing against a 4-week clock, the ticking countdown to a factory holiday in Spain. The deadline was merciless, the goal unobtainable. The festive release never materialized. It's a lesson in the necessity of realistic timelines and the virtues of patience. Making a good product isn't something that can be hurried along. It requires time, cooperation across departments, and a steady resolve to navigate the twisting paths of production. Together, designers and marketers must strike a delicate balance, each step measured, their eyes fixed on not just creation, but realization. Where a well-designed product transcends the drawing board to become an icon of utility and desire. Final summary. At the heart of every captivating innovation lies the elegant simplicity of design, a crafting that speaks not to machines, but to the people who use them. The design of everyday things illuminates a truth often shrouded by the dazzle of technology. That good design transcends aesthetics, engaging deeply with the human psyche to resonate with our needs, habits, and instincts. By nurturing a human-centered approach, designers architect a silent dialogue between users and products. This conversation teaches and guides, ensuring that the process of using a product is as inherent and intuitive as a breath. It shields us from the pitfalls of error and turns technology from an intimidating adversary into a familiar ally. Ultimately, design is the voice of innovation that says, "I understand you," to the user. It's the art and science of shaping our world so that we can live in it more effortlessly, each product a bridge narrowing the gap between human intention and technological capability. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.